This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Joyce Go and guest host Giri Balakrishnan. Earlier this week, if you recall, Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir came back from China and announced that the East Coast Rail Link, or the ECRL, as well as two pipeline projects here, will be shelved for now. And this is due to the government's fiscal position. Dr. Mahathir also said that the Chinese government understands the rationale for the move here. He is responding to a journalist's question about the ECRL.
It will be deferred until such time when we can afford. And maybe we can reduce the cost also if we do it differently.
That was the Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad coming back from China, cancelling some projects. So what is it? It's not goodbye. So it's just goodbye for now, but not goodbye for totally goodbye?
Yeah, looks like it. I think Tunam said that, you know, the projects were just simply too expensive, and the cancellation of these three projects should still help reduce the national debt over the next few years. Because, you know, with talk that, you know, our national debt and liabilities exceeded 1 trillion ringgit, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, that's the reason why they have to cut cost. And this is one of the on the chopping block, you know, that's on the list.
Yeah, but Malaysia still will have to pay compensation for the cancellation. I believe the compensation for the ECRL project could be quite substantial. We're looking at what the final sum still needs to be negotiated, but what you're saying is we must find an exit for the projects at the lowest cost possible. We will have to pay compensation. It's our own people's stupidity, he says. We can't blame the Chinese for that. So when Mahathir was asked about the compensation for the cancellation of the projects.
Yeah, I think in actual quotes also he says, Prime Minister says, this is the stupidity of the negotiations.
That sounds like him before. Say yeah. Something like that.
And there must be exit clauses in all agreements, and the exit clauses must be fair for both parties.
Sure. I mean, so at the end of the day, it's how much is it going to cost us to cancel this to exit this contract, or to stay? How much is it going to cost us to stay in the contract, right? So I think there's, you know, the cost benefit will have to be weighed out by the government. And I do think that, you know, that's not the only thing. There's really this all out approach to manage our books. So if you take a look at the past few weeks, we've been talking a lot about how the government is going to get more money, right? So cancelling projects are one thing. So you've got the cost-cutting measures, and then you have to think about how you're going to get more money. And, you know, with GST being removed and SST coming back into the picture, one of the other ways the government is thinking about replenishing the kitty is by selling stakes. So apparently sources told Malaysian Reserve that Khazanah National is believed to be in talks to dispose of its 60% stake in M&S Private Limited, and this is to the joint venture partner Temasek Holdings.
So M&S was established in June of 2011 as Khazanah pushed to be involved in property development instead of just being an equity holder. So this Khazanah Temasek joint venture came after Malaysia and Singapore's 2010 land swap deal, where Malaysia exchanged three plots of land formerly owned by Malaysian Railway and three additional plots in Bukit Timah for four land parcels in Marina South and two parcels in Ophir Rocha.
Yeah, so the plan was to develop four parcels of land in Marina South and two parcels of land in Upper Rocha as part of the massive, you know, Marina One and Dual Integrated Development. And I think the GDV, gross development value, of the two joint projects was estimated to be about 33 billion ringgit.
Okay, so we entered into, so Malaysia entered into these JVs with Singapore, so Khazanah and the counterpart Temasek. And now we're thinking, okay, we need more money, so perhaps we can sell our stake in this JV to Singapore. So Singapore take over lah, so to speak. So one of the JVs is the M&S. So perhaps, I don't know whether it stands for Malaysia plus Singapore, but who knows? And the other stake that could be up for sale is another JV company called Pulau Indah JV. So Pulau Indah Ventures is also a 50-50 JV between Khazanah and Temasek. And I think they're looking at developing property within the Iskandar Malaysia region.
I think this
region.
Has to do with Iskandar, So, you know, also, you know, aside from cutting costs and selling assets and reducing debt, I think another part of improving our fiscal position is revenue. And a big part of that is tax, right? And recently, the finance minister, Lim Guan Eng, said that, you know, the previous government failed to refund the excess income tax and real property gains tax paid to taxpayers, totaling around 16 billion ringgit. This is as of May 31st, 2018. So, you know, if some of you out there, you've not gotten your tax refunds back yet, I guess this could be a reason. I don't know.
That's a lot of people out there, Joyce. 1.6 million cases of companies, individuals, societies, foundations all haven't received their tax refunds dating back 6 years.
Whoa.
So it's a lot of tax refunds we're talking about.
Yeah, so Guan Eng said that this is because of a shortage of transfers from the direct tax revenue collected to the Tax Refunds Trust Fund. So this is the TRTF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so according to Guan Eng, the tax refunds can only be made using the balance in the TRTF. The problem is the balance in the TRTF was only roughly about 1.5 billion based on records from the Accountant General's Department. This is far lower than the 16.1 billion required for the refunds to be made.
Wow, so that's a shortfall of some 14.5 billion ringgit. This is as of 31st May 2018. So he also said, I think Guan Eng also said that this means that the revenue reported by the previous government was not accurate and it was actually larger than what it was, than it actually is.
Well, there you go. Well, speaking about tracing that money trail, we have the Malaysian Institute of Accountants. They are continuing their investigation into both KPMG and Deloitte for the involvement of the accounts of 1MDB. According to the MIA, the investigations are still on as to whether the auditors in question, the people who handled these accounts, had breached the Accountants Act when signing off on 1MDB's accounts between 2009 to 2014.
Yeah, so the MIA has the power to regulate the accounting profession in Malaysia. And, you know, they started scrutiny, I think their scrutiny on KPMG and Deloitte back in 2015. This was after the then opposition lawmaker Tony Pua lodged complaints that year with the MIA Council claiming that the auditors had intentionally or negligently failed to conduct a thorough audit on 1MDB. And, you know, that came about, you know, recently, remember there was news just in July when 1MDB revealed that KPMG had informed them to disregard the audited accounts for FY 2010, 2011, and 2012 that it had signed off on. That was really weird, you know, when the news came out. Everyone's like, hey, the auditor is telling the company not to rely on the accounts that they came out with.
And it's very rare that that happens.
Mm. Actually, there's been quite a bit of a long tail with this one. All the way back in 2009, 1MDB's first external auditor was Ernst & Young Malaysia. And they were then, at that point in time, sacked because they wouldn't sign off on 1MDB's 2010 financial year accounts unless it was provided with certain documents on the company's US $1 billion joint venture with Petro Saudi International.
Right. So EY was 1MDB's first external auditor back in 2009. And then when they were sacked, then 2010, it was KPMG. They took over from EY. Then KPMG was contract was terminated. Mm-hmm. And they, I guess, had requested for more proof when it came to some of the investments related to Brazen Sky Limited. If you remember that name, it's a familiar name, isn't it?
This was in 2013.
It was in 2013. Mm-hmm. After KPMG's contract was terminated, then it was Deloitte in 2014. Mm-hmm. So then Deloitte also then announced its resignation after the DOJ came out to complain about 1MDB. So all in all, after 2009 and all this Ferris wheel or revolving doors of auditors, we have right now, I believe, PricewaterhouseCoopers, PwC now, appointed by the Pakatan Harapan government to conduct that special audit on 1MDB.
PwC was the only Big Four accounting firm that was not appointed by the previous 1MDB. Oh, well, they were the only Big Four accounting firm that did not touch the 1MDB account. So, did not, you know, do. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a question, you know, when all these news coming out on the auditors saying, you know, you cannot rely on the accounts that they came out with, it is really rare, you know, for auditors to do this.
Yeah, I do have to say that if it, looking at some of the comments as cited by The Edge in that previous report that you mentioned, Joyce, they say that maybe two cases in Malaysia of that ever happening within the last 2 years, globally, maybe even five cases. So we're just talking about a handful of cases where auditors say that their audit reports should not be relied upon. This is how significant it was that KPMG said, please disregard our audited accounts for financial 2010-2012 because they feel that they did not give a true and fair assessment, not given enough material to look at it.
Yeah, but it only said that this year. This is 2018.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. KPMG mentioned, I think the news is, back in July, when they announced that, you know, this, you can't rely on the reports, on their reports. I think that was when, this only happened in July this year.
So actually, it looks like they've been dragging their feet. And in fact, there are important implications, you know, from the banking sector, for example, when you're talking about the flow of monies and what has happened to it. So it's quite significant and a bit difficult to comprehend why it is that they've dragged their feet for so long before they actually made any kind of report or announcement as to their decision not to continue auditing the firm.
All right. We have the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up next with Sabrina Magdalene. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.